Hello.
Hey, Chris, you still there?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. We keep losing you.
We keep losing
Hey,
you.
sorry about that, man. I think one of us has a bad connection, but I'm trying to move places just to make sure it's not me. I hope you can hear me better now, is it?
Yeah.
We can hear you great. It's just
Yeah.
sometimes you cut out.
Well, let's try and work this out. So I'm not too sure what's wrong, but I'm just trying to move places, and this might just get better, right? So,
Yep.
Chris, we were talking about the second part where, we do not need to have a vendor's, portal or a vendor's dashboard. That means you don't directly have to manage vendors. Let's say, let's try and paint a canvas in our heads together, right? So we're talking about a delivery application. The first thing after you log into the application and you see the branding and everything, you enter the location where you want the products to be delivered, right? That's the first
Yeah.
step. You have a more like a Google Maps integration on the app, and you select your location, you select your PIN, and the next thing you do is you make a list of all the things that you need delivered, right? Now that's where the tricky part comes in, because if you have the vendors on board, let's say you have the restaurants on board, you have the chemists on board, then they have their own list of products and they can keep updating that, and they can keep updating the pricing as well. But that is going to be the full plan, and that's going to cost you a lot. Probably somewhere about probably even more than $100,000 if you go for both the Android and the iOS, right? The second way, like I said, is to go about it is to kind of cut this into half, and where you eliminate the vendor from the proposition, and how you manage the inventory in the absence of the vendors is that you have to maintain your own list of products, or you have to give the user a more like a free text editor where they can enter what they need. And there is that's not the best way to go about it, but that's going to eliminate a lot of dashboard requirements for the vendors and managing the pricing and everything. So what do you guys have in mind? I mean, do you want to keep it just like you want to compete with Uber Eats and how they do it, or do you want to
Number
go
one,
with something smaller?
something smaller. We're not.
Something
We don't
smaller.
want to compete with
So
Uber Eats.
we don't want to compete. We just want to we just want to be a delivery service because we don't have any there's no delivery service here, right? So we just literally want to hook up with the stores, and then we could either the stores hook up with our app, and then when they have when our customers can be want us to go pick it up. So the customers can say that they ordered, we don't care what they ordered, we just go and pick it up.
Right. See, once again, when you talk about hooking up the vendors or the shops to your application, we're talking about a larger plan that requires a dashboard for the vendors as well. Now, the cost is not the only problem with that, right? Whether the vendors are going to, by vendors I mean the shops or the chemists or whoever who's going to be supplying the products, we're talking about them, right? Now, will they accept your dashboard? Will they become, will they want to manage, or will they want to take the hassle of managing like a separate dashboard on your application is where this might make or break, right? Because when you talk about Uber Eats, when you talk about all the other applications, they give business to the vendors, and that's why the vendors have to accept them, and they are ready to manage their inventory on the application. They're ready to take orders from the application. But when you're starting small and you're not giving a lot of incentive to, your local vendors, they maybe would not want to accept anything like, managing a separate dashboard with your company, right? So that's a bit of a technical problem, but the best way to go about it, and especially when you want to start small, is that where you could connect the customer to the rider who's going to be delivering, right? Now, the customer and the rider have a messaging area where the customer can share their list of what they want. Let's say they want to get some grocery delivered, right? Now, after connecting, the app is going to connect the rider to the customer. That's all, and it's going to tell them, the fare, or tell them the service fee that they should pay to the rider at the end of the service. That's all, right? So from there, whatever they need, whether they need to get their, you know, clothes picked up from the laundry, or they want to have some grocery picked up, they want to have some food picked up, they will be sending mm-hmm. that to the, you know, to the rider as, you know, in text messages, right, within the application. Let's say they have a list of grocery items they need. They just type them down. They send that to the rider. The rider will confirm that they understand or not. And from there, you know, the application has done its job. I mean, once they deliver, the application has, you know, completed its cycle. Does that make
sense? What do you mean by rider? Who's the rider?
Well, the rider is someone who delivers within your vicinity, right? I mean, right now, it may just be you guys doing it, right? Yourselves going about delivering the, you know, the items. But, you know, at some point in time, let's say in 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road, you would want to have more riders on board that are going to act as your delivery persons, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So what were you guys originally planning? I mean, was it just you guys who wanted to do the delivery through the application?
Yeah, for now, we want to start small.
We
want to
start small.
But how do payments go? Like, I know they send us, we'll be the writer, they send us the list of what they want, mm-hmm. and we pay for it, and then we charge them when we get there, and they pay us?
Well, this can be done in both ways. I'll tell you both the ways to go about it, right? In fact, the first thing, the preliminary thing you have to do before you can even get to payments is that you have to have a fare calculator within the application, right? So, you know, how this essentially works is, you know, on the admin side of the application, you'd have a more like a slot where you can, you know, fix the rate per mile or per kilometer in the application. Yeah. And according to that, the application is going to, you know, first calculate the distance from point A to point B. Let's say from the customer's doorstep to the, you know, to the vendor's location, right?
Yeah.
Or the other way around. And then, you know, based upon that distance, it's going to calculate. It's going to multiply that by the per kilometer fare or the per mile fare that you have set up from the back end. That again is going to be editable. So with changing fuel prices or with changing, costs, you can always update that from the admin panel. But essentially the idea is you have to give them, you know, an estimate first before they would like to book, an order with you or before they'd like to book you to get the service done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you deliver the service, right, when the job's done and, they mark the service as completed, they could either pay in cash or they could pay through the application through a payment merchant as well, right, through their debit card or their credit card, right? And what we would have to do, essentially, in order to process payments on the application is that we would have to, you know, simply connect a payment merchant to your application that's going to process the card payments through your application.
Right.
Am I jumping the guns at you, or are you guys following me?
No, I follow you. I just, we were thinking that we didn't want to handle any of the payments, right? Like, we wanted them to pay for it, and we just pick it up and deliver it.
Yeah, we wanted everything to go through the app.
That would involve getting the vendors on the app, right?
Well, see, the problem is, that's the bigger problem, right? Because if you have to have the vendors on board, you know, vendor dashboard itself is a pretty extensive thing. I mean, when you give them a dashboard, then you have to, they should be able to manage their orders as well. They should be able to accept the orders. They should be able to, you know, ideally they should be able to update their list of the products on the application as well, which requires a lot of third-party integrations. Let's say they're using a POS system. That may need integration to the application as well. So I wouldn't really recommend you go that route because that's going to be a lot of details that you'd have to cover.
Right.
So what essentially is the problem with, handling the payments yourself? I mean, it's one way or the other. I don't see a problem with you guys handling the payments on the orders.
No, the problem with that is what if they, you know, you get there, I'm thinking, you know, devil's advocate. You get there and they say, no, I'm not paying, I didn't want to, I changed my mind. Now we're out $2 in groceries, $100 in groceries. So do we make that, you know what I mean?
Right, so, but they would have paid you upfront, right? I mean, if they don't accept the order, they've already paid you. So you had the money and, you know, it all comes down to how you set up your policies then. I mean, if you tell them that, you know, once we mark the items as picked up, then there's no refund, even if you cancel. You know, that means you could keep the money that you collect from them on the debit or the credit card, right?
Okay, all right. So this would be all remotely. So we'd go to, let's say we're going grocery shop, right? Someone orders, you know, some milk, some lettuce, and whatever. And the bill, so while we're at the store picking this up, before we pay for it, they pay us the fee?
They pay you when they place the order, right? So how this is going to work, you know, when they, you know, book you for as a rider, they first tell you what they need, right? Now you go to the grocery store, you get a total of what they need to pay. You send them a, you know, through the application, you just have to enter the amount and send them a link to make the payment for the products that you're purchasing on their behalf, right? Now the policy for your application is going to say that when they've paid for the products, they cannot get a refund. They can only cancel before you have made the purchase for them.
Yeah.
So we would be personal shoppers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that probably looks like the best way, at least to me, to go about it, to be honest with you.
How would
it? So, like, wouldn't, because, like,
that's
in
like an
grocery, yeah, so, like Walmart, right? They can call Walmart. They can call Walmart and like buy their stuff, and then we just go up and pick it up.
Exactly right. So you become, you know, personal shoppers, just like you said. You shop for them. You collect the payment. You pay the vendor, and then you get it delivered.
Yeah, I don't want to be a personal shopper.
Yeah.
I just want to be
so
a delivery service.
What you're saying is Walmart. If you were to go on Walmart, their app, and you order their food or their clothes or whatever, they do the shopping. You go to the site, you say, I'm here. You call them, and they bring it out to you. They do all the shopping. So they're just basically
I just want to be a delivery person. I just want to be the pickup girl, and I want to be able to, like, because even at, like, in our local area, we have two grocery stores, and literally you can just go and pick up the groceries. So, like, the groceries already picked up. There's a number. Like, when you're sitting in your parking lot, you call the number, and then the grocery girl, you give her your number, and then she comes out, and she gives you the groceries. Because we only have three grocery stores here. So, like, you can order online at Walmart, and, like, literally you can just be the delivery. You can just pick up. We just want to be strictly delivery. So, like, I want to go to, like, a flower shop, and I want to pick up the flowers and deliver it over to the people. I want to go over to a liquor store. Liquor store is a little bit different, like, but, like, if our vendors hook up and they find they have their own wine, right, they can actually – have that product ready for us. When we go, we just pick it up, right? Because Uber Eats and Skip the Dishes is the same. Usually they just go to the store, and they have the number, the delivery number, and then they just pick up the food, right?
In that case, you're just becoming a, like you said, a pickup service or a rider service. And in that case, you wouldn't even have to worry about purchasing yourselves. I mean, you know, the customer or your customer, they purchase with the vendor. Right, they make the payment, however they do it. I mean, these days everything's done online. They make the purchase, and then they just,
yeah,
you know, get to the application. They let you know this is the order number, this is the parcel number.
Yeah.
You just need to go to the nearest grocery store, this grocery store, and get it picked up. Simple.
Yeah, that's literally what we want. That's the type of thing that we want. And then they pay for our service. Like, we have to have those vendors hooked, like, connected to us, but we just pay for it. They're just literally paying for our service to go and pick it up, to bring it over to them. I think that's, like, the simplest way.
Right. So, the you know, the second part of what you mentioned makes sense, but once again, what do you mean by vendors hooked up? I mean, do you want the app to coordinate with the vendors as well?
But we would have to.
Yeah, wouldn't we have to if someone would order, you know, let's say...
They would just have to connect with us to tell us that we'd have to pick up the order.
Right, so you're connecting with the customers, right? Now, the customers deal with the vendors, right? They deal with the liquor shop, they deal with the grocery store, they deal with the restaurant, and they let you know that this is the order number, and would you please go ahead and get this picked up? So you wouldn't have to deal with the vendor, or you know, you just have to pick from the vendor. You don't have to do anything else with them. I mean, as far as the vendors are concerned. So I don't
Okay.
see where you would require the vendors to be hooked up.
Yeah, so the customer would then
Notify us.
notify us, like when we were on out of them, they would pay us to go get it, and they would give us a pickup number, like an order number.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you guys
We don't
do the, sorry.
Yeah, we sorry, we don't have to be connected to, let's say, Walmart or Sobeys or whatever, you know, wherever, like a liquor store. If they called and they purchased the stuff and told the vendor, they'd have to tell the vendor that I'm sending someone to pick it up. That would be on
Exactly.
their, and then they'd say, okay, then they'd have to coordinate with the vendor to get either an order name or an order number. And then as they are on our app, all they're doing to us is saying, okay, I need you to go to Joe Smith's liquor store and pick up this. Here's the number. Here's the payment.
Right, the payment for your service. They've already paid the for the products as well.
Yeah, so they're just paying us for our service. So if we say, you
Exactly.
know, it's $50 to go to, you know, an hour away or whatever, a kilometer, you know, miles, when they work it out, right? We'd have to work it out,
Right.
right? Or the app would work it out and say, this is what we're going to charge you to deliver from point A to point B, just
Right,
to
and
go
that's
to
what the
them.
application is going to do automatically.
Yeah, automatically, right?
Absolutely.
So
Yep.
then wherever, whatever vendor they call, they have to tell us, on the app, they have to say, okay, it's going to be, point A is going to be here, point B is always going to be their address. And then the app will do the rest.
Yeah, exactly. So let me try and paint a canvas once again, right? So the app opens up, you see the splash screen, you log in the first time, right? Now the first thing you have to do is that you enter your own you know, your own delivery destination, right? Whether that's the current location that the customer's sitting on, right? Or they could select another location on the interactive map, because we'll be doing the Google Maps integration, right? They could get it delivered to their friend's house if they're going there, or they could get it delivered to their parents' house, whatever that is, right? They select their destination for delivery, and then they enter, you know, either we could have a list of vendors on the application, because that's going to be simple. It would not require, you know, a separate dashboard for vendors. You as the admins are going to manage the list of vendors, right? Or they could simply, you know, append the location from where they want to get the parcel picked up from, right? So two locations, one for the destination where they want to get this delivered, and the second location for the vendor, you know, that could be a list, or that could be a map view that's going to be integrated through Google Maps, right? So anyway, when they're done, and when they select these two locations, the next thing they do is they select whether they want to pay by cash to you when you get it delivered, or they want to, you know, let's say get a small discount on the service, and they want to pay by debit card or credit card, right? And on top of that, whether you know, they can also see the estimate total of what it's going to be to, you know, use you guys to get the service delivered or the product delivered, right? They will see the estimated fare based upon what you guys set up as the per kilometer or the per miles, you know, fare on the back end.
Right. Okay. Now here's another question for you, and I may be silly, but now let's say, you know, we eventually want to go like within an hour away from us each way, right? But how would we calculate? Because if we're going to be the pickup person, and
Right.
let's say now we're point A, okay? So we're at one location. We'd have to drive to, let's say, a location that's, because they may pick a location that's, you know, only a couple of kilometers away or a couple of miles away from their location. So now we have to justify going, you know, 10 or 20 miles away to pick up a stuff to deliver
That's
it
their
to,
problem.
right?
Well, that's exactly why you have multiple different riders and different locations available, right? So what happens is, how these larger applications perform is that they have riders all over the place, right? Now, if they you know, the app is going to automatically route the order to the vendor, or to the rider that's in that, you know, closest to the location of the pickup, right? Because they have to pick up first and then they have to deliver, right? So the app is going to route the order according to the location of the rider, and the rider that's closest to the vendor's location, he or she is going to be prompted on their phone, on their application, that they need to pick up. With you, I think this is not really a problem. You know, this is not a challenge with, you know, using an application. This is more of a natural challenge with something like a rider service, whether you do it conventionally or you do it through an application, right? And the answer to that is that you need more than one riders. You need, in fact, multiple riders all over the place. And, you know, while you're doing an application, while you're converting this into a business, I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. Why you could employ people, or you could even pay them on a per delivery basis. I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, other people in your vicinity would want to do the same thing themselves as well, right? So
yeah.
They could become your partners. They could become your riders. You can fix a rate with them. You'd have to set up a bit of a system for them where, you know, you onboard them. You make sure, you know, you have some policies for them and whatnot. But then, you know, you'd have more than one riders on the platform. And the app is going to route the order to the rider that's nearest to the pickup location.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we're kind of like a cash and carry in a sense.
No, we're almost like Instacart, but for more than just groceries.
Instacart.
So
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
so
that's what Instacart does. You could be I've seen the commercials where you want to be a personal shopper with Instacart. Right, it's both the groceries, but we're not gonna. We don't want to shop. We just want to, you know, they deal with the vendors and they have to get it.
Right,
a little different, but the same concept where you employ riders to go and pick up at the nearest location. So we're not driving 20 miles out of the way to go deliver 2 miles away.
Exactly. Yeah. You have the closest rider reach out and, you know, get the delivery done. I mean, that's how you optimize the business, and, you know, that's how the application could perform as well. It's always good to be a little different because, you know, you also have to keep in mind, because when you're talking about doing an application or setting up a business like this or any other business, there is an upfront cost, and then, you know, you have to make sure, you know, the barrier to entry is not, you know, there is a high barrier to entry for the kind of service you're trying to deliver, right? So, you know, you want to make sure that one of the bigger companies, they don't eat you out, say, 6 months down the road or a year down the road, because you, at the end of the day, you're investing into it, and you'll invest into the development of the application, and you'd invest into, you know, the onboarding of the riders and whatnot. So you have to make sure the barriers of entry are high, and, you know, you have something different from what, you know, these larger companies or these larger chains do. I mean, I realize they're not there yet in your locality, but they can always enter the market, and they can, you know, they can eat you away.
Yeah, they eat us alive is what they do. I know.
Yeah, so that's why
because they want to corner the market. They would want to monopolize everything, and they'd just eat us out. They'd kind of force us out. They'd take over.
Exactly. So the benefit as a rule of thumb for a small business. Sorry.
Yeah. Once we do the hard work and prove that it's viable in the area, then an Uber Eats or an Instacart or Skip the Day or whoever would say, okay, well, this is viable. They're making money. Well, now we're going to move in and we're going to offer more because they're bigger.
Yeah, you're partially right. I'd agree with that. But, you know, at the same time, there are, you know, new businesses always, you know, reaping out. They're competing with the larger companies out there. And how you do it is, you know, simple business 101, right? You literally have to get back to the basics. And as a small business, the benefit you can offer is personalization of the service, right? Let's say you offer both cash and carry. You offer, you know, personal shopper service as well, right? Uber Eats wouldn't go to pick up laundry because they don't do it. Now, they wouldn't, you know, try and eat you out, or they wouldn't, you know, try and offer similar services to you just because they want to, you know, get you out of competition, because they are a large company. In order for them to mold or for them to adjust to what you are trying to do as a small business, they have to make a lot of moves, right? And that's exactly where, you know, a small business benefits. It can adjust easily. It can offer personalized services. It can make changes, you know, quickly, as compared to a larger company.
So like we are, so we could do, I guess you could do like cash and carry, like a personal shopper, right, onto us. But because like we would be picking up groceries and food, so like skipped dishes, we would still kind of be doing like skipped dishes, but we're just picking up the food.
Yeah, but they'd have to come, sort of. Groceries
right,
would
I mean,
be tough.
Yeah, you don't purchase for them. I mean, because that's another business model. You wouldn't want to go there. You become a pickup service, right?
Direct pickup. But like we could pick up anywhere, like laundry. We could pick up like anything that they want.
Yeah, we're not limited to food and stuff. We do
anything.
Exactly. Now that's your advantage, right? Now you could, you know, like I said, I mean, I proactively mentioned that, you know, one of the larger companies could come in and eat you out. But then, like I said, you know, it's not easy for them to mold according to your business model because they are a larger company, right? They would do what they have to. They would do food delivery. They would do, you know, the regular pickups. But they cannot offer the kind of personalized service you guys can offer. For example, you can go to the, you know, to the closed shops and closed streets, you could get the stuff done. You know, they wouldn't be able to do it, right? Because they have a larger hierarchy. They have all the problems of, you know, any larger business out there.
Yeah. So how much does it cost to build like a small business like that? Because we only want to do two locations right now. And then in a year, we would think about branching out.
Well, see, the application we'll do is going to be scalable, right? So even, say, a year down the road, you want to add one more location, that's not going to cost you guys anything extra. You just have to open the location or increase the proximity or the locations we set up the first time on the application, right? So talking about a scalable application, and then you guys said you want to have it on both Android and the iOS, right?
What is iOS?
iOS is iPhone and
the
Android,
Apple,
right?
Yeah. The Apple devices, you know, the iOS App Store, the Apple App Store. So one is the Android, right, that you use on most Android devices, right? And then the second one is an iOS that's used on just the Apple devices, the iPhones or the iPads.
Right.
Yes.
It'd probably be best to go on both.
On both, yeah.
Right? Wouldn't it?
Yes.
If you wanted to do it, it'd probably be best to go on both.
Right,
there's,
yeah,
there's,
I mean, it's ideal to go for both, but then at the end of the day, it comes down to the cost, right? So I'll give you the idea on both the cost for, you know, one of them and then both of them as well, and then you guys can decide what fits your pocket eventually, right?
Okay.
So can you just, so whoever downloads the app, we're making money off of that as well, aren't we?
You could do that. I mean, you could offer the app for a price on the app stores, but that's not recommended because that kind of acts as a barrier for people to try your service, right? You have to let them download this, you know, the application free of cost, and when they, you know, when they're actually getting the service from you, that's when they should be able to pay. That's when they should be required to pay.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be a free download because everyone likes free downloads.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, make it a free download. You know, down the road you could have a premium version in the application as well, where for, you know, let's say a $10 a month, they get, you know, a $10 subscription a month, they get, you know, premium services. That could be anything. I mean, once the business grows, once you guys get out of the infant stage, there's a lot of ways to go about it, and there's a lot of premium services you guys can offer for $10 a month or $12 a month or even $20 a month. So there's going to be, you know, a lot of doors that are going to open for you once you set it up and once you, you know, somehow pass the first 6 months or 8 months.
Right.
Okay, that's good to know.
Well, yeah, that's good to know. Because, yeah, at first we'd want to stay really small. We'd want to just go locally, like within half an hour, right? Within 30 minutes of where we are.
Well, we just want to do two locations.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds fair. I mean, what we'll do is we'll set up the proximity on the, you know, the Google Maps integration we do, so people would not be able to order outside a certain radius. Right now, in the future, when you want to increase the radius, you want to go to the other cities, you can offer, you know, rider services. You can onboard riders in other cities as well or other towns as well. You could just simply increase the radius of the application, and that's going to be a one-time fix. That's not going to require you to create the application all over once again. right?
Right.
Okay. But then we just come back to you, and then you can help us, like, develop it bigger, right?
A simple fix. I mean, let's say on the code, on the source code, we just say, you know, now it's not going to be 50 miles, it's going to be 150 miles, right, or 200 miles from where you guys are based at, or from the center location. So that's going to be really easy. That you wouldn't have to worry about.
We just expand the location area.
Exactly.
The radius.
Just increase the radius. That's it.
Right, yeah. So instead of a 40-mile or 30-mile radius, we go to a 80-mile radius or a 100-mile radius.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So, like, how much would it cost?
Okay, now, before I jump the guns on you, this sounds more like a personal thing that you guys want to do. I don't think you guys are looking at it from a business perspective, in the sense that you don't plan to take this all over all over Canada, or you don't plan to take it all over the country. What kind of budget do you guys have in mind, and what kind of budget are you guys working with? So I don't jump the guns on you.
I don't know.
Well, this is all new to us, but yeah, you're right. We don't want to expand all over Canada.
Well, you don't know.
But right now, we just want to stay provincial, let's say.
We want to stay in our territorial area.
Right? We don't want to expand much more than our province.
We never know what the future holds, right? But, like, right now, because of, like, we know that there's a need here for it in our local area. There's a super need for it. We don't have any service here for this. So this is, like, a very... like, this would be very valuable to our location, right? So, like, eventually, yeah, we could do it all over the province that we're in.
Oh, we never really thought of a budget.
Yeah.
Right. I'm only thinking, you know, it's a great idea, and I realize there's a lot of remote areas, especially in Canada, where you know these services that kind of sound basic in other cities. They are not available easily, especially because of the remoteness and the extreme weathers and everything. I mean, I like all that, and I like the idea as well. But the problem is, you're looking at a development cost, right? Now, without prolonging this further, let me tell you that, if we have to do this application for you on one platform, and we don't consider you a business with a lot of cash, and we don't try and keep a profit on this, I'll get you this application for $12,000 for one of the two platforms.
Wow.
For one of the platforms?
One of the two platforms.
Right? Mm-hmm. This might sound like a lot, and that's exactly why I was kind of hesitant with jumping on the price. But, if you do a bit of a survey, if you check with other companies that do custom applications, you realize that this quote is just the cost of the developer's hours, right? That's the actual hours that are going to go into building this. I'm not looking at you as a company with a lot of funds. I know this is a personal project, and this is, the bare minimum price that I could give you for, the complete application.
Okay.
So then to do two of the applications would cost what?
My recommendation is before you guys, pull the trigger on both the applications, it's best to test the waters, right? It's best to make sure, you guys can scale sustainably without having to, dent your pocket, right? So my recommendation is that you do one platform at a time, right? And then you can always build the second platform on top at any time in the future when you feel like the service that you offer has become successful and now you would like to go for the second platform. I think in your case, Android, and generally speaking as well, Android has about 70% of all the smartphone users, right? And about 30% goes towards the iOS and the Android, right? So my recommendation is you cover the Android, and that's going to give you 70% of all the potential customers you can gain. And then in the future, when you feel like it's becoming a success, it's becoming a hit within your locality, then you can always offer the iPhone or the iOS version as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Anything else? No.
Okay, we're going to really have to think about this. We're just in the planning stage right now. That does come as quite a bit of money.
Of course, yeah. I mean that makes sense, and you guys can take your time. But what sort of budget did you guys have in mind when you thought about doing the mobile application? I mean, what were you guys
No,
thinking?
What,
we
for
didn't.
budget or
We
for?
weren't even sure how much an app costs. Like.
No, we're you know what, we're just like brainstorming ideas on how to make money and what's needed and what would work. And she came up with an app. The delivery, because there's no delivery service here. They deliver everything by cab, and
But there's no
there's
service,
not really any
really.
service, right?
Yeah.
Any
Well, I
of
can tell you that there's no doubt that this is an excellent idea, right? As it is, it's a good idea. Delivery service is something that is successful all over the world, right? So you don't even have to worry about, whether it's going to be successful within your locality or not, right? Especially when you're not competing with the larger giants. That's actually a big,
course.
benefit, if you don't have to compete with the larger giants right off the bat, because you don't need a lot of funds to get something together. Why don't you guys do this through a browser, like a web application first, and then go to a mobile application? Because that's going to save you a lot of money.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah?
yeah?
You mean?
You do it through a web application? Because she has a website. Could she do it off her website?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to convert the website into a web application. Even that is going to cost you somewhere about, $5,000 or $6,000, to be honest with you. But it's still better than, spending $12,000 and going right off the bat towards a mobile application. And then, with websites, the easier part is that you don't have to pay for downloads. You don't have to get your users on board. There's not a lot of marketing essentially required to get your word out into the market. Right, so you guys said you had a website already, did you?
I have a website, yeah,
She just
but
developed one.
I just developed my website. But I do like coaching and personal trainer, and like I'm a dog trainer as well. So that's what I do. So I just literally developed my website. But like, what do I like? Could I just make like a little app on my website to just say like we do like.
But she had like a little section of a website and
And do like an app where I can, or like add like a booking or something for like a cash and carry delivery or something like that?
or would it be more like this app that we're talking about? Instead of mobile, it's on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. It's accessible through a browser. Let's say whether that be on a computer or a mobile phone, right? You could even log it in on a mobile phone, on your browser, on Google Chrome or Safari or whatnot. But
Yeah.
it totally comes down to two things, right? So what platform do you guys use right now for your website? And then what kind of skills as a developer do you have to build something like this?
Okay, well, skills are limited for developing.
Right. So in
Okay.
that case, I think you'd have to outsource this work to, professional developers like us, right? Excuse
Yeah.
me. So
Yeah.
what's your website, just by the way? I mean, if I could, have a look at it and see the tech stack that you guys have used to build it.
It's WordPress. It's just like a blog. So I just literally built it. So I got somebody to build it for me actually, but I had to go in and do a couple of things. So like it's just like a WordPress. It's just a blog. It's just a small little blog.
Well, WordPress itself is just fine. I mean, WordPress started out as a blog website, but currently you can do just anything with WordPress, right? Unless you need
Yeah,
something
but
like,
I have a store. Like I started to build a store on it. So and I do bookings like for my products.
Right, but
So.
you're not a professional developer yourself, are you? I mean, have you are you I think Chris
No,
just
we
mentioned
had.
that the skills are limited, so I assume that you guys are not developers yourself.
No, we're not developers. We had someone develop the website for her, but
But like I've
he didn't do
learned
it properly, and she had to go in
redo it.
and fix some stuff. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Like so that's why
Well.
if I could just add like a booking or because I have bookings on mine, or if I could add something to it so that they can go in and like do some kind of booking, and then we could just they can pay for our service. They can
Well,
do it that way.
something like this may be a little too advanced for WordPress, first of all. And then, you know, you could try, but I doubt that you'd be able to do it yourself because it requires advanced coding skills. You have to be proficient with code with, you know, to be able to do something like this because it, we're talking about maps integration, we're talking about pair calculator, we're talking about a back end that allows you to manage, most importantly, you know, the service offering. So, you know, it doesn't look like something that you guys would be able to do on your own. But then again, I mean, you could give it a shot. WordPress may not be the best, you know, may not be the best framework for something like this, to be honest with you. You'd have
so,
to go custom
like,
on this. Yeah.
So you could, so could you build like a, could I build another website and then just have like should I build another website on like, there's different, there's Squarespace, there's like Wiz, there's like other platforms,
yeah,
and like
those are good for, you know, those are drag and drop builders, right? So those are landing, you know, those are good for an informative website just like the one you have right now, but they
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be able to cater to what you guys are trying to do now, right? So I know about all these platforms and they are basically DIY kind of drag and drop builders, but they wouldn't be able
mm-hmm.
to do something as advanced as what we're talking about. So you'd have to like PHP, or you'd have to do Laravel, and they are strictly coding platforms. You cannot build them using, you know, building blocks.
Coding platforms?
Yeah, those they're like codes. I mean, you have to write the code to make them function. You cannot use like you know, if you've used Wix, for example, it's a building block, right? It's a legal block for building websites. And it can do only so much. It cannot do advanced functionalities, the kind of functionalities we're talking about.
Okay. All right.
That's
so
it.
I mean,
you could always build a new website. You could get a new website build, and then you can scale this according to your needs, you know, as your business grows. And that's honestly exactly where most businesses start out, right? Because even if you have an investor, you have someone who could invest into it, they still need a proof of concept. They need to look at something before they can invest into you, right? So you come down to yourself as a single man army, and probably all you'd have to do is gather some funds to be able to hire a web developer that can build a website for you like that. And if not $5,000 or $6,000 for something full cycle, you know, a core application like this would cost you somewhere between $3,000 to $4,000.
Yeah, that's more.
That's more. Yeah,
in
that's
our
more
budget.
Within our.
Budget, yeah.
I think that's essentially what you guys needed in the first place. I wouldn't even recommend you guys go through the route of mobile app right off the bat, because you guys would have noticed, you know, with even the larger companies, they always start through a web platform, and then they offer mm-hmm. a mobile application when they have a sizable user base. Because the problem with a mobile application is you have to market it a lot. You have to spend a lot of marketing to be able to, for people to download your application on the phone, right? But then, I mean, when they download you on the phone, they have you, you know, we used to say that you need to be in your customer's wallet to make sure they become loyal to you some 20 years ago or 10 years ago, right? Now we ought to be on their phone in order for them to be, let's say Starbucks, right? Starbucks here, at least in the USA, it's pretty popular. It's on my phone. It's on my colleague's phone. And whenever we have to order a coffee, we don't look at anything else. We don't look at any of the coffee chain because we have the app on the phone. And it acts like our wallet, and we can order, you know, the coffee, whether we're sitting in a meeting or whether we're doing something else in the office,
yeah.
right? So for that kind of loyalty, of course, a mobile app is where you go. But when you're starting out, you definitely should go with a web browser application and not a mobile application is what I'd recommend.
A web browser?
Yeah. I'll get his name and stuff.
Like a web app.
Right.
Just like a website,
yeah.
you have, you know, more like something advanced than a website. It's a web application, and it just means
mm-hmm.
it has a lot of back-end functions to kind of hand in glove with what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Okay. So get his name and number, and we'll think about it. I'm not going to make a decision now. We have to think about it.
No, he said that this is the way to go, though, because you don't have an app until you have developed it better.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. Yeah, sorry?
I thought it would be a good idea because, like, in this area, nobody has, like, literally nobody has like delivery service. So I thought like building an app would be good because like they don't have any service like this, right? So that's why we thought it would be better to build an app. But it's okay, we could build a website too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I had a second thought. I feel like I've kind of lowballed on the pricing that I gave you on the website. But, you know, if you guys want to start or you guys have this in mind since a long time and you just want to, you know, pull the trigger and get this going, probably the best I can do is, you know, without getting into a lot of scoping and, you know, having the internal team create a scope of project and, you know, then getting a price that is probably about 1.5 or 2 times more than what I quoted you. I can get you guys started on a web application for $3,500. I mean, that's probably the best I can do to, you know, kind of support you in goodwill to get this going for yourselves.
Yeah. So then you would just set up everything. Everything would be set up, and then we would just be able to tell people to go to our website.
Exactly. Yeah. Your website becomes your home. It's going to be www.whatever your business name you guys want to keep. Keep something that you can brand in the future, right? That's brandable. And we'll help you select the name as well if you guys want to do it, right? But essentially, that's going to become your address or your home to where you send your customers. And all you have to do is, you know, probably send out some leaflets, send out some, you know, pamphlets all over your. I don't think it's a big city that you guys live in.
No,
you guys.
It's not a big city at all. But like, even we could just like probably advertise and like tell local like stores and like stuff like that, right?
I'll give you some free of cost ideas on how to, you know, get this going as well in terms of marketing. But you don't need to do a lot, to be honest with you. A simple direct mail campaign or, you know, sending out a mail coupon for people to get like a $10 off or get a $5 off the first time they make the first delivery service with you or they make their first order with you. And that's going to get you on your wheels and get you going, to be honest with you. Right. And then social media, that's useful. You guys could ramp the social media up yourself and get it going.
Yep.
So it's not a lot of marketing we're talking about when we talk about a website. With a mobile application, yes, you guys would have to have a separate budget that would probably be, you know, at least the cost of the development or even 1.5 or 2 times more than what you would spend on the development itself. So my recommendation once again is that you go with the website, try and see how this works, make a clientele, make a loyal clientele, and then when you can finance an application, that's when, you know, you should you know, take that route.
All right.
Okay. Can we just, this is your number, the 1-408-746-3290?
Yeah, that's my number. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
what's your name?
His name is Mike.
Well, you're speaking to Mike? Yeah. Michael is my name, Michael Smith.
Okay, well, I'm Mike too. It's an easy name to remember.
Is this Canada though? Like Canada money?
Where are you? U.S. dollars or Canadian funds?
Well, I quoted you in U.S. dollars because we receive payments in U.S. dollars only.
Yeah, so
we have to do the exchange rate. It's up over 4,000 or close to
4,000. So how long would it take to, like, how long would it be to have it up and running?
Well, I think this should take about, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. But then again, how we work is we offer you, unlimited revisions, right? And, you know, it's more of a collaboration process where at each step you have to give us your feedback and your approval before we can move to the next step, right? For example, first what we'll do is we'll first design a homepage for you to look at, right? And once you look at the homepage, in fact, a couple options, you decide between one of them and you tell us what revisions you need. That's when we do the revisions, and that's when we simultaneously we set up the inner pages for you as well, the pages for, you know, processing the order, the payment, and everything. We'll do all that step by step. So it really comes down to how frequent we get to hear back from you and how available you guys are during the process. But 6 to 8 weeks is a good timeline is, you know, between which we can, you know, complete the whole development and, you know, get it ready for your customers to come in on the website.
And then can we do half and half? Like, can we give you half the money to start?
Yeah, payment. What's the structure?
Can we give you half the money up to start? And then when it's finished, can we give you the other half?
Okay. Well, guys, I'll be honest with you. For anything less than $20,000, we don't do a payment plan. But I think I don't know how you guys found us or whether you guys are coming through a referral or not. But I think this is your first time working with Huff and Mazur. If you guys want to start right now without taking a lot of time to sleep over it, probably the best I can do is I can get you on board for 50%. And the next, you know, the second payment, the balance is what you can pay by the time we show you the inner pages and once you approve them. So if it works out between us and you like what we're doing for you, then you can go ahead and pay the balance, and that's going to be $4,000 in total, right, the full price. That's in Canadian dollars, right? Otherwise, if you tell us that you'd like to opt out at the time when we send you the homepage, I'll give you that option as well. So you get your money back, the $2,000 you pay up front, and you can, you know, we can part ways, and we can always look forward to something better in the future.
No, we definitely need, like, there's a need of a service here, right? Because, like, let me tell you, I'm from Toronto, and it pisses me off that I can't, like, pick up the phone and get service.
Well, to be honest with you, I am a business analyst myself by profession, and I look at businesses all the time to see whether they're viable or not, right? Whether you should do them in the first place or not, whether there is a market gap or not. And I think you guys are based in Sydney is what I see on my, on the chat on the website, because we were just chatting right now. I know for a fact that, you know, it's a remote area. It doesn't have a lot of services. And for something like this, you know, something like a delivery or a pickup service, like I said, it's a proven model. So you don't even have to reinvent the wheel, or you don't even have to, you know, doubt or think whether it's going to be acceptable by people, it's going to be acceptable by your target audience or not. It's just a no-brainer, right? I mean, delivery service in an area where there is no delivery service at all, I think it definitely is going to be a success. It just comes down to how you guys want to scale it and how fast you guys want to grow and, you know, take on the advantage on the market, you know, that's the vacuum that's available. But otherwise, I don't think there's any chances of failure, you know, that you wouldn't be able to survive, because there's no competition at all, like you guys mentioned.
Yeah, there's none. There's no competition at all.
No.
There literally isn't. And, like, as somebody coming from, like, a big city to, like, I feel like I live in a different decade. So,
what city again did you say where you're living in? The other city?
We live in a small town called Spring Hill.
Spring Hill, you say?
Yeah, Spring Hill. It's in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, it's in Nova Scotia. And our major city to us is Amherst. So that's
Amherst, okay. All right, that's more familiar.
Yeah.
All right.
That's like the biggest, that's where all the groceries, like, we do have a small grocery store here in Spring Hill, but, like, most of the stuff is in Amherst, right? So there's no service. Like, even delivery, food delivery, like, you have to pay $6 for a cab to go and drop us food, right?
So like, there's no... So you say for, like, $8, for an $8, burger, you have to pay $6 to get it delivered, is what you're saying.
Yeah, by a taxi person, because they don't have any kind of service here. It's ridiculous. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then how far is Amherst from your location? I mean, is it like a few miles?
It's about 20 kilometers, so what, 30 miles, not even 20 miles.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's only about 20 minutes drive.
Uh-huh. So Amherst people, like, people that live in Amherst, the grocery stores and stuff, they don't deliver. Like, nobody delivers to Spring Hill. So we can't order food in Amherst because nobody will deliver out here, right?
Well, so I think a lot of people in your vicinity, you know, people who live with you in the same circumstances, they already desire a service like yours, right? And, you know, I can tell that a lot of people would be thinking to do it themselves. And, you know, it's just about who gets their foot in the door first and, you know, takes up the opportunity. Because, you know, to be honest with you, in the larger cities, you wouldn't even be able to run a service like this because there's a lot of competition. There's DoorDash, there's, you know, Grubhub, there's Grab,
Yeah,
there's Uber Eats. Yeah.
we don't have no competition
Yeah,
right
there's
now.
nothing here, no.
Yeah, so
I
it
don't even see the cab companies here, so I don't even know where to get the cab.
It's
I've never seen
actually,
a
yeah.
cab company here.
In
Oh, I've never
our
seen
jargon,
that.
we call this an aggregator, right? So, you know, an aggregator is where you have a delivery service, you have a food delivery service, you have a pickup service, and then you have a cab service all together in one application, just like Uber, right? So
Yeah.
that probably is what you guys should be targeting. I mean, if you have to, you know, keep a big vision, or you have to keep a vision that you guys would like to focus at, I think an aggregator is what you guys should be focusing on becoming. You know, probably starting out small, but then, you know, there's always room for growing and adding more services to your application.
We're not shy to get bigger, but we want to start small. We want to keep our
Well, we want to start small,
we
but
start
yeah,
small,
but
and yeah,
eventually we want to
we hope it
be
becomes
come,
another Uber Eats.
yeah,
I make lots of money.
hopefully it becomes big, right? We hope to start small, but yeah, we definitely want to grow bigger for sure, right?
Right, who doesn't, to be honest with you? So, you
Yeah,
know, you
well.
just have to start somewhere, to be honest. And, you know, when you start, then, you know, like I said, you know, the doors, there's a lot more opportunities than, you know, what you can even think of right now that are going to open up when you have a platform, when you have a proof of market concept. You know, let's say, who knows, you know, someone within your locality or someone in Canada, let's say an angel investor or a capital investor, they might want to, you know, partner up with you and take a bit of a share and, you know, invest into your company. I mean, why not? I mean, that's exactly how most of these companies grow, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well,
Well,
it's
we
just
definitely, I like, you want to
expanded.
do it. I want to do it.
Well, then do it. You
All
want to
right, so I
do
think
it.
we, yeah.
Okay, but I want to make sure. $2,000 up front, right? And
$2,000
then
up, yeah.
up front, right? 2,000 Canadian, whatever that works out, US. You're going to give us, what are you going to give us exactly? You're going to give us
He's
a
going to
cover
build us the
page?
website. He's
Yeah,
going
and
to
then,
build it for us.
yeah, but we've got to approve everything step by step, correct?
Yeah, for
We're going to
sure.
give you, a website where people will be able to place orders. They'd be able to set up their location where they want to get it delivered, set up a location from there where they want to get the parcel picked from, and they will be able to see an estimated fare based upon what you set up on the back end. So that said, we will give you a back-end CMS admin panel as well, so you can manage and maintain the websites yourself in the future as well, including maintaining the content, right? What you want to, you know, show there, pictures, text, and then you can set up, you know, your fare, and you can manage your, you know, your customers and the orders as well, right from one website, from one panel.
Right, the same thing. We can expand the radius eventually ourselves as well.
Yeah.
Well, expanding the radius, I mean, that's something you probably would have to get back to us with, because that's coding we're talking about, but that wouldn't
It's
cost
not
you anything. I
that
mean, it wouldn't cost you a lot, so
easy.
don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And you will help us pick a catchy name as well.
In good faith, yes. I'll give you a few, you know, I'll you know, we'll try and name something that's local, try and make it sound local with your state, right, with your county, or with your province, and we'll
Yep.
come up with a few names that you can look at, and then, you know, you guys can go ahead and, you know, set it up. I mean, use that name for your marketing and use that name as your brand.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so then when would the balance be due?
Well, you
Upon
said
the completion, or when you...
60.
No, I'm asking when the balance would be due. Just before you're completed?
Okay, the balance is going to be due once we complete the design of the website, right? Now, that includes the home page, and then once you approve the home page, we send you all the inner pages that are going to go within the website. So we're not talking about a landing page, like a one-page website. We're talking about a multiple-page website, right? So we'll show you the
Right.
designs for all the pages, and once you approve that, and once you like it, that's when you, and before we get to the hardcore development, that's when you go ahead and pay us the balance so we can complete the development and we can get your website deployed.
Okay.
So right after design and right before development is when we'd expect the balance payment.
Okay.
Sounds fair, guys?
Well. Yeah, and you said it would be about 6 to 8 weeks, right?
6 to 8 weeks. Keep 8 weeks in mind if you guys want to plan like a mail marketing campaign or something, right? But 6 to 8 weeks is a good, you know, timeline we were looking at. And just by the way, you know, I know you guys gave the number off the top of your head. I just converted $3,500 into Canadian, and that comes out to $4,645, right? So I'd round this off to $4,600 for you guys, and the initial 50% would be $2,300. That's Canadian dollars. So
yeah.
Just trying to be clear what it would cost you, right?
Yeah, okay. I just did it off the top of my head. I didn't do the math.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I know you just, you know,
I just said 30% $990 or $900 on $3,000.
That's all right. Yeah, it was just, you know, I think you guys are good to get started. So I wanted to give you a final number just so there's no, you know, ambiguity, you know, after we've gotten, you know, after we've kicked the pedal on this one.
Right. And then you said we have your assistance for upgrades unlimited, or what's something about that?
Well, with maintenance, like I said, we'll give you the panel to maintain the website yourself. If you guys prefer WordPress, right, and I'll check with the development team and see if everything that we're talking about is doable on WordPress. Right.
You,
so we'll
no, you
give
don't.
You, sorry.
You don't have to do
whatever website
works best. That's fine. You don't have to do WordPress. I hate WordPress. So please, if there is another like good site, just let's just
whatever site
you
think is best.
Yeah,
whatever site is good.
Yeah, so let's say leave the framework to us, and you know, of course, before we get started, we'd have to decide that. I mean, before the team starts development, they'd have to decide the framework anyway. But we will get you the framework that's easy to use, and that comes with a, you know, we will give you a back-end panel as well to maintain the website. Just to answer the question you asked, Chris, you will be able to maintain the website yourself unless you'd like to retain us on a monthly basis after the website's deployed to maintain the website for you.
Sorry, what was that last part, Mike?
Okay, let me come back again, right? So you're paying a one-time fee, and you're getting a one-time development done. Right now, with this fee, the initial, you know, $4,600 Canadian dollars I quoted to you, you will be getting the website, and on top of that, we'll give you a 60 days post deployment maintenance retainer. Right, that means after the website has gone live on your domain, and once the website's completed, we will maintain the website for you for the first 60 days, and that's just to give you some leg time, or you know, some time to, you know, to get your hands on to the backend admin panel that we will be doing for you, right? So by the time you guys get your hands on to the admin panel and you become used to it, you know, after 60 days of, you know, the post-deployment, we will hand over the website to you, and you will be, you know, well-equipped to maintain the website yourself unless you would like to retain us to maintain the website for you. But that's going to be separate. I mean, if you want to keep us from maintaining the website for you, like making any simple changes, making any upgrades or whatever, that is going to be separate from the initial contract. But like I said, for most maintenance, you guys would be able to do that on your own without even having to hire us or any other company for that matter to maintain the website.
Okay.
Sounds fair?
That sounds fair, yeah.
All right, guys. So let me welcome you on board. Let me get you started. What's your good name again? Chris, you said your name is Chris. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? Matt?
Mike. My name is Mike.
Okay, your name is Mike. Okay.
And the other one's Christine.
My name is Chris.
Christine.
Yeah.
She goes by Chris. You can
confuse okay,
me.
So all right. All right. Okay, my bad. So Mike and Chris, I welcome you on board. You know, first steps first. You know, once I sign you up and get the billing out of the way, we'll be sending an email in about 30 minutes. And you guys would have to fill out a questionnaire for us to give us some guidance on what you have in mind for this platform, right? I mean, although we have had all the discussion, but just to make sure the team that's going to be working behind the scenes, the developers and the designers, they are aware of your actual vision with this and they know what you're looking for. But then, you know, like I said, I'll talk to them internally as well, and I'll be, you know, overseeing the project myself. So the questionnaire is the first thing you fill.
Too many people talking.
No, because I'm like, you know exactly what like our ideal is, right?
Yeah, you've got to pass it on.
Right, yeah, like I said, I mean, I'll do the you know, the talking and everything, you know, internally. I'll manage the project as well, so you wouldn't have to worry about it. But, you know, apart from that, you guys have to fill out a questionnaire for us, and that's just a formality to make sure we know if you missed out something or there's something you guys want to point out before we get to the execution. You have the questionnaire to fill out, and, you know, that's going to help you guys brainstorm about the website as well, because those are going to be guided questions in the questionnaire. And those are going to help you answer a lot of questions about the website and how it should look and how it should, you know, function, essentially. I'll help you with the questionnaire. I mean, don't worry about it. But, you know, that's going to be the first step. I'll send that over to you in about 30 minutes with the welcome email and the name of your project manager. And once you fill that out and send it back to us, and once we fill it together, in about 48 hours from that time, we'll send you the initial mock-up, the initial landing page design that you can look at. And, you know, once you approve the look and feel, once you approve the landing page, that's when we start doing the inner page designs for you as well.
Okay.
All right, guys. All right. So let me get you started, unless you have any other questions. Anything else that you'd like to pick my brain on before we get this going?
Not right now.
You've been
really
great.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think I picked my brain completely. I just looking at all the worst case scenarios, right? I just like, I'm very picky that way. I don't always think about the good. I like to think about the negative too. I want to put them all in balance, right?
That's a fair way of doing it. But to be honest with you, we're just starting out, and you know, we stay in, you know, constant communication from here, right? We're just starting out, like I said, right? So you'll have my number. You can text me up. You can call me. We will be in coordination at least twice a week. Right, during this time when we build the website for you. So if you have any questions coming up, we can always talk about that. We can, you know, we can together look at it, and we can sort this. Right.
Okay. So you're gonna send us the information on email. Give him your email.
We need the email. We need the phone number. I need a couple of details from you. So what's your email?
It's Hal. So H-A-L-L Chris, C-H-R-I-S. HalChris428@gmail.com.
Okay, let me come back again. So you said Hall.
Yep.
Chris. 428.
@gmail.com.
All right, got it. And the best contact number, would that be the same number that we're talking on right now?
No, give him your number.
So this is Mike's number.
That's my cell phone number.
So you can keep that.
You can keep that too in case you can't get a hold of her. But
so my number is 289-941-3044.
289-941-3044. All right. Okay. And I'll create the account on the name of Mike and Christina. Mike and Christina Hall. And all right, guys.
Thank you very much for your time and just like helping us out with this. We really appreciate it.
I'm really just doing my job, so don't mention about it, right? So we'll work together on this, and we'll try and get this going. And like I said, I'll text you from my number as well. So we'll be in direct coordination on this one together and try and make this work together. All right.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Now, the last thing I need from you, you know, to pass the details to the billing team would be one of your card details. What card would you like to use to make the payment?
You're going to have to use your Visa debit.
Yeah.
Hi, bossy boy.
So I would have to...
Okay.
You
have to transfer the funds first.
Yeah.
Your name's Christina, right? Or is it Christine? I'm sorry. How do you spell that?
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E.
T-I-N-E, okay. All right, got it. All right, guys, so ready when you are with the card.
Okay, so it's 4536. Mm-hmm. 0075. Mm-hmm. 0129. Mm-hmm. 5604.
Okay. And what's going to be the expiry date on the card along with the CVV code on the back of the card?
It's 1027. Mm-hmm. And then 512 is the back.
Okay. And the card's on your name, right, Christina?
Yeah, it's my name.
All right, let me put that down as well for the billing team. And you guys would have to verify the billing address as well, please.
Pardon me?
Could you verify the billing address as well?
Oh, okay. It's 4 mm-hmm. Gilroy, G-I-L-R-O-Y, okay. Gilroy Street,
mm-hmm.
Spring Hill.
Spring Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spring Hill, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia, okay. And the postal code, please.
Yep, it's B0M
mm-hmm.
1X0.
And that's B as in ball, right, at the start?
Yeah, B as in boy, yeah.
Okay. B0M 1?
Yep. X.
Uh-huh.
1X0,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. That's it, guys. So I'll go ahead and pass this information to the billing team. The first charge that you guys are going to see on your card is going to be $2,300 Canadian dollars, right? We will,
yep.
of course, send you the invoice as well, along with the first email, like I mentioned, the welcome email, and that's going to enclose the questionnaire as well.
Yeah, and we'll get that questionnaire in a half an hour?
Less than half an hour.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, I'll let you go for now. You enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll stay in contact. I'll leave you a text message, right?
Okay.
All right,
sounds
cheers.
Good.
All right,
cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.